Buffett and Bernanke weigh in.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. The markets don't move for many people, but two that do hold sway had a lot to say this morning: investing guru Warren Buffett and Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke. Buffett said he thinks we're in a recession, but he has faith in the strength of the dollar. Bernanke wasn't so sure. He said inflation is a major concern, but he did say that the fact the price of oil has gone down is a promising sign. It all sounds pretty mixed, but the markets decided to look on the bright side this Friday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 1.75% to 11,627. The Nasdaq up 1.25% to 2409. The S&P 500 up 1% to 1291. And it's been a wild week for commodities. Yesterday, oil took its biggest jump in 3 months. It's back down to about $119 a barrel this morning. Corn and soybeans have jumped more than 10% this week. All of that means lots of business for the New York Mercantile Exchange. CME Group will officially acquire NYMEX today. From Chicago, Adrian Hill has more.
It was just last year when the Chicago Board of Trade and Chicago Mercantile Exchange got together to form CME Group. According to the Futures Industry Association, today's deal will give CME Group control of 98% of all contracts traded on U.S. futures exchanges.
Which is just absolutely huge. They now become the only game in the country.
That's Michael Gorham, a business professor at the Illinois Institute of Technology. He says there's some concern CME Group will raise transaction fees, even though the merger probably won't affect overhead costs much.
The cost of adding each new trade is trivial because this is just a little more space on the server rather than more space on the trading floor.
Today's acquisition may not be the end of CME Group's growth. Randy Frederick is the director of derivatives for Charles Schwab.
There may be opportunities for them, both domestic and international.
He expects CME Group may already be in discussions with exchanges in Europe or Asia. In Chicago, I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
Another commodity on the rise, gold. It's set for its biggest weekly gain in 6 years. It's about $830 an ounce this morning. There's been a run-up in demand recently, so much so the U.S. Mint says it has run out of one-ounce gold coins. It sold 60,000 of them this month.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at Gather.com.
Chocoholics better start saving. Last week, Hershey said it was raising prices. Now Mars is following suit. The cost of M&M's, Snickers, and the like will jump more than 10%. All told, it's a sweet week for the candy maker, though. Mars is very satisfied with the results of its Olympic ad campaign for Snickers.
势力架,横扫饥饿,活力无限。
Snickers has been available in China for about 15 years, but it hadn't really taken off. Then the candy bar became the official chocolate of the Olympic Games. Chinese sales have jumped 75%. It's just too bad sneakers aren't seeing that Snickers effect. Adidas is the official shoe of the Olympic Games, but Puma is getting all the traction. That's thanks to the success of a Jamaican sprinter, as Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
1 hour. That's how quickly Puma's Usain Bolt shoe sold out in Beijing yesterday. That's the same shoe Bolt held up and kissed before the TV cameras after winning the gold medal. The Jamaican showboater plays well to Chinese fans and to Puma's image, says brand consultant Mary Bergstrom.
Puma is perceived largely in China as a niche, styly brand. So having a Jamaican sprinter be a representative of your brand actually fits in quite well.
Puma's coup is the second for an upstart shoe company in the Beijing Olympics. On opening night, Chinese Olympic legend Li Ning lit the flame. He founded an up-and-coming Chinese sneaker company. All this undercuts Adidas, which paid more than $100 million to be an official sponsor. Adidas also bet on the wrong sprinter. American Tyson Gay goes home with no medals. Nike, meanwhile, rushed out a special edition track spike for Chinese hurdler Liu Xiang. He pulled out injured. In Beijing, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
The success of the Olympic Games has the peacock sitting pretty. NBC took a big risk when it paid $900 million for the rights to air the Games. Now the network says it's on track to turn a $100 million profit. Michael Spire is the executive editor of Daily Variety. Mike, the Summer Games have traditionally been pretty hit or miss. How did NBC pull it off?
NBC got very lucky this year by negotiating for prime time rights. By having Michael Phelps' quest for 8 gold medals, I mean, NBC did a lot of things right. They had a lot of things going their way. And the combination of all of that just meant really record ratings and just showing you what network television can do given the right amount of money and the right amount of time.
Right. I mean, NBC's ratings are sort of unprecedented. 30 million viewers on average, and then I think they had almost 40 million for Phelps's 8th run at the gold medal.
Right. I mean, they're claiming that these are the most watched Olympics ever, but this was the first Olympics that were broadcast and promoted as something that you could either watch on television or at your desk. So this was a huge hit, not just for television, but for how to broadcast events online as well, because a lot of people have always been wondering how to monetize that and how to succeed with that.
Well, how is NBC going to roll this forward? Because its entertainment division has struggled a little bit, and
right.
I know that it's trying to sort of promote its political coverage going forward. But how is this going to work for NBC long term, if at all?
Well, having the Olympics to show all of your future stuff is better than not having the Olympics to show all your future stuff.
Yeah.
So that in and of itself is a success. The problem is we've seen this kind of thing before when, for instance, Fox had the World Series a few years back and spent all this time promoting its upcoming series. It didn't do anything for them, and a lot of those series got canceled right away. Yes, it's wonderful to show Kath and Kim and Knight Rider and all those kind of new primetime shows constantly to audiences of 30 million people a night. I mean, that's a wonderful attribute for your network. But in the end, if the shows aren't there, then NBC's got problems, and NBC has had problems recently. Their entertainment division, their primetime stuff, has been almost non-existent. And so if the shows aren't quite there, people forget about the Olympics and they're going to tune out and tune into something else. So they have a lot to worry about. Their news division is fine, but their primetime stuff and their entertainment stuff has a lot to be desired.
Mike Spire is the executive editor of Daily Variety. Mike, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.